And amen. You know, I read this story, and it's the first thing that always comes to my mind when I read about the story of Zacchaeus is, now Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. That's what I remember. And I remember my girls singing that very song over and over, and that's the reason I know it. But that's the first thing I think about. But as I read the story, I see two intersecting lines. I see Jesus, who has set his face as a flint towards Calvary. He knows that's his destination. His destiny is to die upon the cross and provide a satisfactory sacrifice for his Father so that mankind can be saved. As the verse says there, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. So his mind is set on flint, as a flint, towards Calvary. But as he comes to this accursed city, the Bible says he pauses for just a moment, and time enough to intersect an individual's life who has a special need, the blind man. And he heals him. And then he continues through the city, and as he gets through the city, there's another man. And his life has been going downhill for a long time. He's a lonely man. I can see Zacchaeus. It says he's a little man, so I'm going to put him shorter than me, whatever that is. But I just see him as a sort of a little old hook-nosed guy, you know, that has sort of beady eyes, sneaky looking, like some of these over here that I see sort of look like that. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I just sort of see him like that, you know. But I see his heart. I see within his heart an emptiness. And I see within his heart a loneliness. The Bible says that when he heard that it was Jesus, he came to see who he was. See who he was. He'd heard about this man, Jesus. I'm sure that by this time, Jesus has had his ministry for like three and a half years, something like that. And his name has been spread abroad throughout Judea, Jerusalem, and around the whole area. His name has been going out, and Zacchaeus, somewhere or another, has heard of this man. What he's heard about him, it doesn't really say, but whatever he heard, whether it was the miracles that he performed and the healing of the lepers and all, whether it was that or whether it was the demons cast out, I mean, I don't know exactly what it was, but it brought a curiosity to Zacchaeus that made him want to know more about this individual. And I, somehow or another, in my mind, I'm saying to myself, if he was lonely, and if he was felt like that nobody loved him, do you ever feel like that? And if he was hated by so many people, that surely that little man with all of that in his life was reaching out to God somehow. And as I preached last night, and I can't get away from the picture of God bending over the banisters of heaven and looking down on earth for just such a one as this little short Jew who was so alone and so problematic in his life that he when he heard of Jesus, he wanted to know more about him because he'd heard good things. And so he goes out to see the crowd. And here comes the crowd. And I suspect that this crowd is there. You can hear the buzz. Did you see that? He gave sight to that blind man out at the other end of the city. And I can hear the buzz in the crowd. And I can see Zacchaeus' curiosity getting higher and higher. And finally he says, the problem is he's short. And he can't see anything. And so he says, I've got to do something. I've got to find out more about him. And so the Bible says he ran ahead. Now, it doesn't say that exactly, but that's what it means. It says, and he ran before. He ran before the crowd to get to a place where he could find something. Now, I see this guy. He's not just a lonely individual that's hated by everyone. He's not only short in stature. He's not just a little old ugly Jew that he may have been. He might have been a good-looking guy. I don't know. But he wasn't just that. But he was rather proud of the fact that he was the head publican. He was the head tax collector. He had power. He had authority. He had prestige. He had all the good things that most people want in this life. And I see him as this proud Jew. And the Jewish people have a name for the fact that they have sort of an arrogance about them, sort of a pride about them. And I see this Jew the same way. I see Zacchaeus. He's proud. But he can't see what he needs to see. And I see him as maybe he's got a long robe on or something, and maybe some sort of a jacket or something, and somehow or another I see him strip that off. I mean, he's going to climb a tree. He's not going to be hampered by robes and all that good stuff. And so I see him as he takes his coat off and folds it, lays it down, and grabs a hold of that thing. And he sort of becomes as a child. Isn't that what the Bible says about you're going to come to God, you have to be as a little child? Well, somehow or another, that's what I see in Zacchaeus. And what is the whole purpose of this thing? The whole purpose is this. Now, it wasn't Zacchaeus' purpose, but it was certainly God's purpose. Because here's Jesus, and here's Zacchaeus. And at a special moment in time, there's two lives intersected. When Jesus got to that place where Zacchaeus was looking down, Jesus was looking up. At that very moment, their lives intersected. And that's what I want to preach to you about. The moment in time. Every one of us here that knows Christ as our Savior remembers that moment in time when the life of Christ intersected your life. And it changed you forever. You remember that time? I well remember 1962 and February the 2nd. I remember sitting in the back, just in a meeting not unlike this one. They sang the songs, preached the message, and Don Williams got up out of his seat. And it was a time when I had to become as a little child, and I walked an aisle and knelt down at an altar of prayer and trusted Christ as my Savior. It changed my life. It was that moment when our lives intersected. A moment in time. This is a moment. Jesus would never come through Jericho again. He would never see Zacchaeus again. There would never be another time like this time. It was a moment in time, a moment of opportunity. Have you had that moment in your life? If you haven't, I trust that you'll do the same thing that Zacchaeus does. So let's read some of the verses and talk a little bit about what this is all about. Many people around the world are not aware of their destiny. You see, this I believe was first of all a moment of urgency. Now, it wasn't an urgency with Zacchaeus. I don't think he felt like he was in any jeopardy or anything like that. I believe he had a need, and he knew he had a need in his life, but he probably didn't really understand anything. But it was a moment of urgency for Jesus, because he knew that Zacchaeus was lost. And he knew that the only time he would ever have an opportunity to be saved was that moment when Zacchaeus would look up and Jesus would look up and Zacchaeus would look down and he would say, "Come down, for I must abide in thy house today." A moment of urgency. People all around the world, there's lost people all around the world that don't realize there's an urgency in their life. That urgency is to to know God personally. That's the reason your missions and the reason you're mission-minded in this church is because of those people that are out there that don't know anything. They don't realize that they're in jeopardy. They're living their lives just like the average person, you know, and going on with life, and their loved ones die, and they put them in the ground, and that's, you know, but they're not aware of this thing of eternal death. But Jesus, he knew about it. And for Jesus, it was an urgency, a moment of urgency. It was a moment of privilege. When Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm going to have Nicodemus in this thing all night, I have a feeling. Every once in a while I do that, I'll get two names twisted around, and I'm, you know, it's terrible. So anyhow, you know, if I say anything other than Zacchaeus, you know it's Zacchaeus, all right? Do you understand the privilege that it was? Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus, for I want to stay in your house today. I want to go to your house. Can you imagine? And matter of fact, it says in there that everybody said, he is going to go to the house of Zacchaeus as sinner. And of course, they were always accusing Jesus of that, but Jesus kind of cleaned that up, didn't he, at the end of that little segment where he says that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come to save the righteous, but to those who acknowledge the fact that they're a sinner. So it was a moment of great privilege. Do you feel that privilege in your life? Did he not come and go to your home? Go to your house? Is he not abiding with you if you're here tonight and you're saved? Why, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to abide with you forever, seals you to the day of redemption. He lives here within your bosom. And is that not a privilege that we ought to acknowledge and be gratified at the very thought of it every moment of every day? Every time our mind goes to anything spiritual, shouldn't we just praise God for the fact that hey, he lives within my bosom. I don't have to fear death or hell again. Is that not a privilege that we have? Zacchaeus experienced a moment of urgency, but he also had a moment of opportunity. Moment of opportunity. As I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus didn't run back and forth through Jericho. It was just this one-time thing, and it was an opportune moment for Zacchaeus to know the one that can do in his heart what needed to be done. There may be some here tonight, and since I don't know everybody, I know most everybody in here. But it may be that you're here tonight, and maybe you, like Zacchaeus, are a little curious about the Lord and what he does in the life of somebody. It's an amazing thing how God can take an old reprobate. He can take a prostitute. He can take a drug addict. He can take a drunkard. He can take an individual whose life is destroyed, and he can lift that one out of the miry clay, out of the miry pit. He can take that one out and give him a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Make a new creature out of you. What an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, what an opportunity you have tonight. Now, here's the thing. I talked about this being a moment in time. Jesus may not pass this way again for you, because you don't know what's outside the doors of this building. You don't know if there's somebody that's kicking up it may be like the three girls that down home that they were teenagers. They got on a four-wheeler. I don't know how you get three teenagers on a four-wheeler, but they did. And they came rushing up the road, and they turned onto a highway. When they turned onto the highway, apparently they didn't look both ways, because it was a tractor. Was it a tractor trailer or a truck? I don't remember which it was, but I think it was some kind of a truck that hit them. And now all three of them are dead. Two of them were killed immediately, and the third one was in the hospital for several days and finally passed away. You know, they wouldn't have made that right-hand turn on the highway if they had known what was coming. And we don't know what's coming. Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we cannot boast of tomorrow. But Jesus said, Zacchaeus, today, isn't that what he said? Today I must abide in thy house. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the appointed time. And today is what God's interested in. And simply because we don't have tomorrow, we do have this moment right now. Zacchaeus had that one opportunity. And he gladly submitted his will to God's. The first thing he did when Jesus said, come down, he obeyed him and came down. The next thing we see is that he's calling him Lord. That's a good thing, isn't it? He acknowledged that he was the Lord. And then the next thing was the fruit of repentance. He said, if I've taken anything amiss, why, he said, I'll restore fourfold. And for a Jewish tax collector, that was a good sign of salvation right there. And he's ready to make amends for anything that he did wrong, and he's ready to give to the poor whatever it takes. He's ready. He must have really got saved, don't you think? If your life doesn't change, do you think you get saved? No, because the Bible says that we're made new creatures. But it was a moment of opportunity, a moment of privilege, and then, of course, naturally, it was a moment of reception. A moment of reception. That moment in verse 6 where he says, and he made haste and he came down. And notice, and he received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. You know, when he came down out of the tree, he must have got down on his knees right in front of the Lord. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Is it not amazing how a decision in a moment, how just a simple decision, yes, Lord, I'll accept you. Isn't it amazing what that decision can, how it can make the difference in an individual's life? Makes a difference in how they treat their spouse or their children or their friends or their work. It's amazing how it changes their life. It changes their destination, the eternal destination, but it changes everything from this point to that point. And that's the amazing thing about the grace of God. That's the amazing thing about the gospel, the power of the gospel to change an individual's heart. Because there's nothing in this world. You can change a person's mind. But to change their heart, that takes a miracle of God. And he's the only one that can do it. If God has given you an opportunity, you need to take advantage of it now, because today is what God's interested in. He's not worried about these and concerned about these promises of tomorrow. How many times I've knocked on doors and talked to people, and they'd say, well, I don't want to get saved right now, but I'm going to come Sunday, and I'll be there Sunday, and I'll walk the aisle on Sunday. You know, I'll do it Sunday. It's next Sunday. You know, not today, but, you know, next Sunday. And it never comes. Sunday never comes for them. They don't show up. You can go back and talk to them. Oh, yeah, I had, you know, family came in, and I got tied up, and I just couldn't get out. But I'll be there next Sunday. How about today? Why don't we get this matter settled today? Now, next Sunday, I'll be there and I'll walk the aisle. And next Sunday never comes. Today is what God's interested in. That's why the emphasis on doing anything for God is today. you're saved and you've been planning on going on visitation. You've been planning on reading your Bible through this year. You've been planning on, you know, spending so much time in prayer every day. And you've been planning and you just, tomorrow, I'm going to start that tomorrow. And I'm going to, first of the year, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through starting the first of the year. And I wonder how many in here have made that promise and failed, huh? Think about it. God's not interested in tomorrow and what you're going to do tomorrow because you don't have tomorrow. But he is interested in what you're going to do tonight with this message, whether you're going to come down out of the tree. You know, it's interesting. Zacchaeus came down out of the tree, and we need to come down out of our pride and make some decisions for Jesus Christ tonight. You're here tonight, you're not saved. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Why don't you just obey, trust Christ tonight? You have a moment in time to take advantage of that opportunity. It's a great privilege, and I hope you'll do the same thing Zacchaeus did. If we can have the lights out, we'll show this chalk drawing. Jesus wants to intersect your life. He wants to have an influence, an input in your life. We're all walking the path of life. And I guess that we could use that, I guess, as an illustration. And there's the path, and Jesus is on that path. He invites you to walk with him. That's what he did with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. For I must abide in thy house. Walk with me. And he wants to do the same thing with you. You're here tonight and you're not saved. Listen, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the last verse that we read there said. He came just for you. You say, well, yeah, but I'll do it. No, remember that. It's today. Today is what God's concerned about. And it's today that you need to be concerned about because you don't have tomorrow. There's no guarantee about tomorrow. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, we're going to start an invitation. Pastor will be up here in the front. All you need to do is come up and say, Pastor, I need to get saved. He'll know what to do. But maybe you're a Christian and there's just some things in your life, just, you know, it's just not, not pleasing the Lord. You know it. He knows it. He's been dealing with you about it. But you said no. Tonight, maybe you need to walk with him down the path. I remember the two on the road to Emmaus. Man, oh man. They're walking down there and they're all discouraged. Things just weren't going right for the Christians that day because their Savior had been crucified. And they're just walking alone, along. They're lonely and they're talking to each other and shaking their heads. And they're down the dumps. And a third party walks along beside them, asks them, why are you despondent? Why are you acting the way you are? And he took the scriptures and he explained to them. He wanted to walk with them. And when they walked with him, hey, all the gloom went away. Tonight he wants to take the gloom. Will you let him? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We can have the lights back on, or just part of them anyway. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, listen. The story of Zacchaeus is an old story that we've all read and heard preached on 1,000 times. But the message is still there. How God wants to be involved in your life. Will you let him tonight? Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight as we examine our heart, I pray, Lord, that we might acknowledge the fact that we've failed, we've come short, and we need a touch from heaven tonight. So I pray, Lord, as we start this invitation, if God has spoken to anyone, I pray, Lord, that they would not turn you down, but they would come and acknowledge their need and allow you to meet that need. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes.